You too. Live on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. You're listening to our breakfast with you too. The band is going to make their way over here to the little chairs on the stage.
We're about 10 feet away from where the guys are, so they'll be performing. Come over, answer a few questions, take some questions from the crowd, then perform it again. Bono's on the stage. Morning, boss. How are you? Good to see you.
How are you doing?
These guys are good, man, for a band that just got together. You know, I was thinking... Morning, Adam. Good morning.
Grab
Larry.
Microphone.
Welcome. Good to see you guys. Good morning to you. Thanks for being back on K-Rock. Larry,
thank you.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
How you doing, Larry?
Well, welcome back.
Oh,
it's
nice.
You
tired?
Bonnie, you out of breath? What's the deal here, man?
Look at that. Guinness. We got Guinness. It's a
sexual thing.
Now, you noticed the Guinness. We got to start with the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Black Velvets.
Ah, you're right.
Black Velvets. What's the deal? Tell us about the Black Velvets.
What's the mix here, Bonnie?
It's a little... It's a little aperitif for this morning and to celebrate our new album with you. It's an Irish drink.
Uh-huh.
It's called Black Velvet. It's one part Guinness, one part champagne. Perfect for this morning. I think you'll agree.
So the mix is about what is it, Edge? About, is it half and half?
Half and half.
Half,
yeah.
And half. Now, does it matter if the Guinness is cold or warm?
Well, there's a lot of debate about which you should pour first.
Right.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And Larry, I'm not sure what's the
bottom. What is the protocol for which one goes in the glass
you
first?
The Guinness. The Guinness goes first.
Guinness
Larry,
first.
Larry,
okay.
So
right.
Trust Larry on an issue like this. He's good on that kind of stuff.
I might just say that hanging with K-Rock is this pretty posh because this is this is some serious.
This is our entire T-shirt budget for the year is right there.
Okay.
Just
whoa.
Yeah.
Now being sprayed with champagne. All right, here's your glass right here. All right, do we just set... Oh, we got glasses for everybody.
No,
Bono. We apologize, folks. We had to get the important stuff out of the way first, and then we're going to talk about the record.
Okay.
Bono is offering some to everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, let's have somebody mix some up.
There we go. We'll mix some up, and then we'll try it. Then we'll all try it.
It's very important to put the Guinness in first. Is that right?
Nice. Make sure they know. Well, welcome back. Congratulations. All That You Can't Leave Behind comes out on Tuesday, and you played your first gig in quite some time just last week in Paris. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we you know, people go on about playing clubs like it's, you know, man, we can't wait to get back to the clubs. And usually the people who go on like that have never been in a club. You know? we spent our whole lives trying to get out of clubs and working very hard to get out of clubs. And we kind of see arenas as we kind of feel like sports arena feels like a club, you know what I mean? And, but anyway, we played to 1,000 people and... It was, I mean, I've always had a thing with, you know, watching people looking up your
nose.
Your nasal passage into your brain.
Sure.
And, but it was okay. And we really, in fact, something we'd like to do again, maybe we'll do it around here sometime. It's
I'm sure these people would love for that to happen. Yeah.
Do you not know until you physically play the songs on stage how they're going to work live?
You always get a surprise. I mean, often it's a good surprise, but something about playing a song in a club where you really find out fast what you got. It's not like you're any distance from your people. It's like they're right there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's really working, you get to know it. If it's not, you're going to know fast as well. But
happy
to say it worked well.
Many ways you... we've always written the tunes in the studio and actually discovered what they are when we went out on the road. That's where our band really lives, is out on the road. That's when that's when it really happens, when it really goes off for us. So
you know what? A lot of bands that have been together for a long time, the road kills them. It's just they're bored. They can't take it anymore. I mean, Radiohead is a very popular band with the K-Rock audience, and they can't take traveling anymore. They play a few shows only when they want to play shows. And you guys somehow
lightweights. I actually just saw Radiohead a couple of months ago, and it was one of the best nights of my life.
Yeah.
And all of that, but still, come on.
They can't take the tour.
Get out on the road. See, they've got a tent now.
Yes. That's what they said, a blue tent they travel with.
Which I think is pretty cool, you know, because, every night where the lion sleeps and the...
Sure.
What's
he talking about?
Three ring.
Oh, the circus. Oh, okay, good.
Three ring.
Sorry. Yeah. I think I need one of those.
It's getting lateral there.
The more of these we drink, the more Bono makes sense.
Yeah.
What is all that you can't Leave Behind. What does that mean, guys?
Well, Larry doesn't like it much because it's not going to fit on a T-shirt.
That's is that right?
I didn't write it, so you come up with it, so you better explain it.
It's hard to explain, really. I mean, as all great titles are. And something about the, you know, the essence of who you are and what you're about as a band, the, you know, and the thing that'll make it through the fire, the thing that you'll have.
Right. Was it always going to be named that, or did you go through a bunch of other titles before you ended up on this one?
We had a few goes at it, and we couldn't. We were going to call it U2, just eponymously U2, just because we felt like we were starting again. And it is important when you've made a few records like we have, just to not feel like you can live on your past. So when we go in to make an album, we sort of break up the band and start again. Mm-hmm. But this time we started again as U2.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
I need another drink. I don't know.
Now, you actually had the luxury with the way the timing worked out on this record to take your time, make the record you wanted to make, because I have heard in the past that you felt that the pop project was a little bit rushed in terms of you had commitments to a tour, you had to get the record finished, had to get it out there. This time it seemed like you were able to take your time on it.
You know, there were some extraordinary songs on pop, and I know that the Lemon, you know, 40-foot Lemon, and then the screen and all, was hard to take, you know, for white boys carrying on like that. But we're just into black music in the 70s and the funk and the day glow of all of that.
Right.
And it was the right setting for what were very, very serious songs for us, actually, on that. And when we make a really serious record, we usually call it something silly to put people off, you know, the sort of wrist-slitting aspect of what we do. And
it's all about balance, you understand.
Sure.
Balance. Yin and yang.
Where is the Lemon now, guys? Where is the Lemon reside? Well,
it's for sale by them.
On eBay?
Yeah. It's going to be on eBay fairly soon. If anyone feels like having a 40-foot Lemon in their back garden, they can ring eBay.
There's been an inquiry from the, the Aerospace Museum?
Oh, is that right? Smithsonian?
NASA. We wanted NASA to take it, yeah.
Put it in space.
We want it next to the command module. Sure. I thought it would look very nice.
I'd like to see him shoot the big Lemon into space. That'd be awesome.
Used to transport pop stars. 1919.
Did you ever on one show? Do I remember this incorrectly, or am I just dreaming it? Did you have a Spinal Tap moment?
We had
a problem with the Lemon.
I have to be honest.
What happened, Edge?
It was Oslo, and the unthinkable happened. We got about 10 foot down the ramp inside the Lemon, and it stopped. Frozen fruit. It was. I have to say, we all cracked up.
Yeah, you can't help but laugh at that.
We'd been waiting the whole tour for it to happen, and finally it did. And all the road crew were freaking out, but we couldn't stop laughing.
How long was it? How long did it last?
4 days we were there. Which is pretty... Well, but it was bad. Okay, you know. Oslo is a nice town.
Sure.
They were
right.
Passing us salmon up through the crack. It was a 3-inch crack, so
awesome.
Oxygen was fine.
That's
no
nice.
Problem.
We have U2 here. We're doing breakfast with U2 on the world-famous K-Rock. We're going commercial-free, by the way. And our man Ralph is up on the riser there. Ralph has got some rabid U2 fans with questions. We'll take like 2 questions now. Then the guys are going to play another number for us. Ralph, good morning.